This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. In this hour, we, of course, are going to tackle Medal of Honor Monday right off the bat. I'll get to that in a moment. I will finish up my thoughts on the John Kerry Western Elites, what they think about us audio. We'll dive back into that. We're going to have a return to politics from a bad guy, and I told you that was coming. All that, so much more coming up this hour. We'll get to emails, other things coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, if you want to send one of those emails, you can send love, hate, death threats, and Medal of Honor suggestions. If you have ones you like, you can send anything you want to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We got this one, as a matter of fact. Remember, Medal of Honor Monday, for you new listeners, it's dedicated to a hero, to his deeds. We read a citation. That's all we do. That's all there is. They did it. We read the citation. We honor the men. We honor their sacrifice. This guy says, greetings, fellow Oracle. It's that American Indian professor again. While visiting my family back on the Choctaw Reservation in Oklahoma, I learned of a local hero named Tony K. Burris, who fought in Korea at the Battle of Heartbreak Ridge. I'm worried not enough of the next generation knows about the true cost and brutality of the Korean War. Can you please read Sergeant Burris' Medal of Honor citation? And I would be honored to do so. Ready? Aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
And Tony K. Burris was a Sergeant First Class U.S. Army. Anyway, Sergeant First Class Burris, a member of Company L, distinguished himself by conspicuous gallantry and outstanding courage above and beyond the call of duty. On the 8th of October, when his company encountered intense fire from an entrenched hostile force, Sergeant First Class Burris charged forward alone, throwing grenades into the position and destroying approximately 15 of the enemy. On the following day, spearheading a renewed assault on enemy positions on the next ridge, he was wounded by machine gun fire but continued the assault, reaching the crest of the ridge ahead of his unit and sustained a second wound. Calling for a 57mm recoilless rifle team, he deliberately exposed himself to draw hostile fire and reveal the enemy position. The enemy machine gun emplacement was destroyed. The company then moved forward and prepared to assault other positions on the ridgeline. Sergeant First Class Burris, refusing evacuation and submitting only to emergency treatment, joined the unit in its renewed attack, but fire from hostile emplacement halted the advance. Sergeant First Class Burris rose to his feet, charged forward, and destroyed the first emplacement with its heavy machine gun and crew of 6 men. Moving out to the next emplacement, throwing his last grenade, which destroyed this position, he fell, mortally wounded by enemy fire. Inspired by his consummate gallantry, his comrades renewed a spirit of assault which overran enemy positions and secured Hill 605, a strategic position in the battle for Heartbreak Ridge. Sergeant First Class Burris' indomitable fighting spirit, outstanding heroism, and gallant self-sacrifice reflect the highest glory upon himself, the infantry, in the U.S. Army. And we will play taps in his honor.
Thank you.
Rest in peace, brother. And first, I'm just going to do a couple minutes here. We're not going to do a history. I've done a bunch of Korean War history, but if you have any interest in it at all, I would just say it's an under-talked about, I know that's not a word, conflict. It was a horrible, horrible affair by the men who were on the front lines in the teeth of it. And you've probably heard of Heartbreak Ridge or the Battle of Heartbreak Ridge. I know Clint Eastwood made a movie called Heartbreak. I think it was Clint Eastwood, Heartbreak Ridge. Anyway, there were a lot of, quote, Heartbreak Ridges in Korea. Remember, Korea was the Chinese pouring 500,000, we don't know the number of troops across the border. We were kicking the crap out of the North Koreans, and Mao, he wanted a resounding victory over America, and so he just poured in overwhelming numbers. And we were in freezing cold, mountainous North Korea, and what we had to do was take these hilltop positions. You heard in the Medal of Honor citation, they referenced, what was it, Hill 605, I think it was. 605. What's that mean? Hills. Yeah, it was 605. What does that mean? Well, if you look at a topographical map, or just look at a topographical map, and you were in Korea, they would number the hills. They didn't give them fancy little names. That's not what they would do in the military. This would be Hill 211. This is Hill 605. And because you always want the high ground, everyone knows that in war, you want the high ground. The Chinese wanted the high ground. We wanted the high ground. Sometimes they were there. We had to charge up the hill and fight them and run them off of it. And then we had to try to hold it because they would counterattack with these human wave assaults where there'd be more people than you could kill. You'd run out of ammo because you're killing so many of them. And then sometimes we were there and they wanted it. And they would send these assaults after you. And sometimes they would take it. And then we would have to counterattack and run them off. It's a battle of freezing cold hilltops in North Korean hell. That's really, really the essence of the Korean War. And there are amazing books on it, amazing documentaries on it. If you're not a big reader, I'll tell you again, I could list a few for you here, but probably the best Korean War book I have ever read in my life as far as giving you a complete overview. You will understand the Korean War if you read one book, and it's really readable. It's really interesting. The book is called On Desperate Ground by Hampton Sides. And remember, you can podcast the show. If you miss anything I say here live, it's free. You just go to your phone, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, and podcast it. So I'll give out the name of the book and the author two more times, and then I don't expect any emails asking, what was the name of the book? On Desperate Ground by Hampton Sides. One more time. On Desperate Ground by Hampton Sides is the name of the book. Great book. No, he's not a friend or anything. I don't even know the freaking guy. Who knows? But it was a great book. But Korea, highly recommend it. And that actually leads me to this. I wanted to play this before we get back. I want to talk John Kerry and politics and other stuff, but we got this. Remember, we take voicemails on the show now. Don't do a lot of calls. Just don't do them often. I don't like them. But we do take voicemails, 877-377-4373 is where you leave those, 877-377-4373. We got this one.
Jesse, today is Medal of Honor Monday, and it really makes me wonder how many thousands of soldiers would have earned the Medal of Honor, but there was no one there or left alive to report it. Fascinating.
It is fascinating, and that's a great voicemail. And for me, everyone has it different, but for me, part of the reason I read these citations is it's honoring all the men who could have earned it or would have earned it, and they simply didn't for one reason or another. You know, here's the truth. If we, like I just read that there. We're talking about Burris, Sergeant First Class Burris. And you're reading about this lion, and he's charging machine gun emplacements, and he's doing these crazy, brave things. Why did he do all these crazy, brave things? Well, because he's a beast and courageous, and he's awesome, and yes, all these things are true. But one of the reasons he did all these crazy, brave things is none of the bullets they were shooting at him hit him in the face in time. Burris is a lion, a warrior, a hero, and should be thought of as such. But so is the guy who saw someone coming at his friend and jumped on top of his friend to save his life, and both of them got shot and died. That dude's a Medal of Honor recipient, too. He just never got one. No one saw it. Everyone's dead. There was no one there to put him in for a medal. I read these, and these are a tip of the iceberg of heroism that has happened in various ways in the history of American combat. You read these, but it's to honor all of them. It's a very, very good point. There's a lot of them out there who could have and should have, and for a variety of reasons, just didn't. All right. Let's talk about John Kerry before we get to emails and the return to politics, something I was actually right about. But I want to talk to you about rough greens. You see, we have a dog. He's useless, but we love him. And his name is Fred. Chris has actually gotten to meet Fred. Fred likes attention, all right? But Fred also has an upset stomach. He has a nervous stomach. He's a nervous dog. We have the only dog, I believe, who has anxiety problems. And so we had to find a solution. Fred kept having digestive problems after he ate, every time he ate. We found one thing and one thing only that worked. We started sprinkling rough greens on Fred's food. The all-natural nutritional supplement that has digestive enzymes and probiotics and things like that. Fred's going to live longer because of rough greens. Fred doesn't have digestive problems because of rough greens. Go give your dog some rough greens. Free jumpstart trial bags. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I will get to emails, and I'll get to the Democrat returning to office just like I told you he would, but I did want to spend just a couple more minutes on a couple examples, if you will, about what I've been talking about, the mentality of Western leaders, how you love your freedoms and you love your country, but they hate your freedoms. That's not just radio talk. They think your freedoms hold them back. And if you listen, the communist will tell you what he believes if you simply listen. They used to share letters with each other, and they'd publish newsletters, and you had to dig through that to read. But today, we live in the vomit everything on social media era, where there's video of everything, and people, they'll just vomit out every single thought. Ah, this line at Starbucks, ah! So now you have the advantage of the communist telling you time and time again that he hates you, he hates your freedoms, and he thinks they are holding him back and he intends to destroy them. You love the First Amendment. He hates it. You love the Second. He hates it. For him, these things are what's holding him back from being the king he needs to be. John Kerry. Thank you for making my point.
But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and, has an...
Notice how... Look, we'll pause it a couple times. Notice he already determined if you go to sources that don't agree with him, your sources are sick.
...agenda and they're putting out disinformation.
Disinformation like the COVID vaccine stops the spread?
Our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, hammer it out of existence. So
our First Amendment holds me and my fellow communists back from doing what? What do they need to do that out of information? Or the person sharing it? What do you do with that sickness? Well, we need to hammer it out of existence. Now, those were two very important things to link together. First Amendment's this major block. We got to hammer it out of existence. So that was bad. But don't sleep on the last part of it because it's significant. And if you listen to what he actually says here, what's he saying? What he's saying is they intend to seize enough power that these amendments, these rights, this Constitution won't matter at all. That's what he's saying here at the end, if you read between the lines, and you don't exactly have to be a genius to read between the lines. What's he saying here?
What we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by...
Win the ground, win the right to govern. We need to take enough political power.
Hopefully, having winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change.
They dream of winning enough votes, getting enough power in the right places so that they're not going to have to stress about these freedoms of yours anymore. They'll simply have so much power, they'll take them away from you. They're not alone. They all talk like this now if you listen. If you have ears, you can hear.
I taught constitutional law for years, constitutional law. Never was the Second Amendment meant to be absolute.
He never taught constitutional law. And for the entirety of our history as a country, if you were an American politician and you said an amendment wasn't absolute, your political career would be over. And most of the time you'd have to move to a country and change your name, because that's the kind of thing Americans would reject outright on every side. Now, they all talk about it. Your First Amendment's holding them back. Your Second Amendment? It's not even absolute. And look, even things like AI advancements in the future, you think they're not trying to grab a hold of that power? Here it's Bill Gates.
You should have free speech, but if you're inciting violence, if you're causing people not to take vaccines, you know, where are those boundaries that even the U.S. Should, you know, have rules? And then if you have rules, you know, what is it? Is there some AI that encodes those rules? Because you have billions of activity, and, you know, if you catch it a day later, the harm is done.
This freedom of people to say whatever, isn't there a computer program we can put in to stop you from spreading things around? You hear this lady on MSNBC? Listen to how these people think.
They believe that she is a communist, that she is a socialist. There are these memes going around with her dressed in a Mao Zedong suit with a cap that has a hammer and sickle. So that's what you're up against right now. And frankly, that's something that she has to address. Not Governor Walz. She ultimately has to address this, because these images that they have, that they have created, are actually taking off.
These people, they hate your freedom. They hate your freedom. The leaders of the West are trying to take it away because they feel like your freedoms, you, your love of country, your freedom, that's what's holding back the planet. And that's what's under attack. All right? All right. Enough of that. Gotta reach my hands over my shoulders. Good things these hands are so huge, and pat myself on the back. Why? Well, I told you somebody you thought was gone was not really gone. And now he returns. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, including Medal of Honor Monday or some extremely in-depth analysis about the port strike that is coming tonight at midnight, if you miss any of that or any of my other witty commentary, you can download a podcast of the show at iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. Now, I mentioned all that, but the truth is, I don't want to make it all about me. and how I'm right all the time. You know, no one likes that guy. That said, do you remember? Now, this was a couple years ago, at least. I'm sure you remember. I'm sure you hang on every word. But do you remember? This is kind of a long prediction, but remember way, way back in the day when Jesse, the Oracle Kelly, that's me, Chris. I don't know if you know the Oracle. That's me. Don't shake your head, Chris. Remember back in the day when Jesse, the Oracle Kelly, said this? Back in March of 2022, I'm sure you have every show memorized. Do you remember when I came on the air and I said this? Why is Andrew Cuomo coming back? I mean, millionaire, wealthy family, friends in high places. I don't care how persona non grata it is. Andrew Cuomo could simply wait a couple months, maybe a year if he has to, do a lot of fishing on his yacht, pretend to like his dog and his wife, come back and sit on some board of some finance firm, couple $1 million a year. Not hard to find those in New York. They grow on trees. Why come back? Why come back at all? Well, he's sitting on all this power. He's sitting on $18 million. And the nature of man is to use power when you have power. Andrew Cuomo, gone? Is that some kind of a joke? He's a traditional political family. We got them all over this country. How many of them ever leave? From the Clintons to the Bushes to everyone else. You can't get rid of them. These people get in there and they want to stay in there, and then their kids get in there and then their kids get in there. Why? Because they can. Why would Andrew Cuomo come back after all that disgrace, national disgrace? Well, $18 million buys yourself a lot of power. Headline from the New York Post today. Andrew Cuomo would, quote, trounce Eric Adams in a Democrat primary for mayor. The polls show. Just remember who told you, right as soon as Magic Fingers got kicked out of office in New York, who remember who told you he would most definitely be back. So that was an interesting bit of audio, because that was actually a call back to 2023, and that was me giving myself credit for a callback I'd made the year before. So this is like exponentially three times the credit. And here I am looking at an article, townhall.com. Look who's eyeing Eric Adams' mayor seat. And I'll just read a couple sentences, and then I'll move on. I don't want to rub it in that I told you this was coming and now it's here. Just a little tidbit for you. Despite being pressured to resign in 2021 from his governor's seat amid sexual harassment allegations, Cuomo believes he would fare well as the city's next mayor. He reportedly still has millions of dollars left in his campaign funds, which technically he can use. Chris, how are you feeling right now? What? Why are you? Don't shy away from the microphone, Chris. Tell me everything that you're feeling right now. Do you feel honored to be in my presence? What? I would. Look, if I was you, I would feel insanely honored to just be what? I feel honored for you, on your behalf. I feel honored. Let's get to some emails before we get to other things, because we do have other things. Jesse, I just left church. The preacher said in 30 years he was never given a sermon about politics, but that changed today. He said his duty was to speak the word of God was more important than offending someone. He went on to display Bible verses, how they apply issues of today, abortion, gender, immigration, Israel, religious freedom. While not telling anyone who to vote for, the message was clear. He finished off by saying that Christians need to come together and fight for our country. I wanted to stand up and clap. Her name is Laura. Laura, I want to stand up and clap too. In fact, I got a message, or I spoke to somebody this morning. I'm not going to go into who it is. But their church, for the first time ever, voter registration in the indoor and the outdoor. Set up, show up, vote. Yes, go in, worship God. then come out and get your freaking hands dirty and get involved in your culture, in your society. There's a million bad things we could point out, and we talk about them all the time, but there are really, really good things happening beneath the surface if you're paying attention. We can rise up and fight back. Oracle of oracles. I recently saw Hungary held a referendum on deporting their border crossers. It got me thinking. After some research, a national referendum here is not what the founders wanted to instill. However, some states do. Do you think red states should hold a referendum and have voted for deport all illegals to sanctuary states? Okay. Well, let me say something here. You know that the federal government in this country has not always handled immigration, citizenship, deportation, things like that. That has not always gone to the feds. The states used to do that themselves. No, the red states shouldn't get together and deport illegals to blue states. The red states should get together and deport illegals back from whence they came. We undersell the power of states in this country, the United States of America. Part of the reason I am so hopeful for some of us in the future, I'm not hopeful if you're stuck in a blue area, I'm just not, sorry, but for some of us in the future, I am so hopeful because of the incredible sovereignty and power of the individual states of this country. And when it comes to illegal immigration, the federal government has declared war on the American people. What do you do when the federal government opens up the border on purpose, hauls it? What do you do? Well, here's a headline. Listen to this. This is from Jim Garrity. One of the most jaw-dropping Friday afternoon news dumps of all time, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement revealed that the agency's docket included more than 662,000 illegal immigrants who either had a criminal conviction or were awaiting a verdict in a criminal case, 13,000 convicted murderers, 15,000 convicted of sexual assault, and more than 2,500 convicted of kidnapping, and more than 62,000 convicted of assault. Your government, the federal government of the United States of America, brings these people into your country as fast as they can on purpose, trying to remake and destroy your country. And they're not doing it a year from now, 6 months from now. They've been doing it since Joe Biden walked into the Oval Office. The time for red states to join together, band together, defy the federal government, and handle every single aspect of their own immigration. That means border security. It means arrest and deportation. The time for red states to join together and do that is like 10 minutes ago. It's not something that should happen maybe 10 minutes ago. Of course, everyone will wake up to this fact, like they always do, about 5 or 10 years after I'm done saying it. And then I'll get a bunch of people who were arguing with me at the time coming and say, "Oh, Jesse, I wish I'd listened to you. You were right." Like happens to me all the time. If I sound like I'm getting fired up, I am. Where are you, red states? We're drowning. We're dying. They're importing rapists and murderers as fast as humanly possible. Instead, we get James Lankford trying to help him do it. Gosh, I could throw up. Anyway, let's talk about reclining your seat on an airplane. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It was a Medal of Honor Monday, and we had Ross Kennedy on. There's so much to come. We actually have an activist, a local activist, coming next hour. Wanted to bring her on and just maybe provide a little bit more inspiration for all of us. So that'll be fun. There's a voicemail, a hate mail I get to play for you in a moment, and that will be fun as well. I just had the hiccups. Anyway, I saw this headline. Hong Kong's Cathay Pacific, apparently that's an airline, bans a couple over a reclining seat argument. I'm not going to go into a bunch of airplane etiquette here, although I could. I'm not going to. I am going to do this. Reclining your seat. I understand you have a little button there. You press it and you can put your seat back. If you don't look behind you before you do it, it's rude. And I understand why people don't think about this. If you're not 6'8" like I am, It's just not something that would occur to you. Of course, you're going to sit down in your seat and put your seat back. When I fly if I'm flying economy, my knees are buried into the seat in front of me. And if you put that seat back an inch, it's brutal pain. It's horrible. You got to have to twist your legs up. It's awful. I'm not saying never recline your seat. Just a little courtesy look to make sure some Adonis like me isn't sitting behind you. Just a courtesy look. That's all there is to it. Remember my story I told you one time? My father was doing a construction project in California on a golf course. I was in the Marines, but I had a few days of liberty. I was on leave for something, I think. Anyway, I went home, and my dad wanted to take me out golfing. So he takes me golfing, but we had to fly there. So we flew Southwest, of course. We fly Southwest, fly out there. We're flying home. Guy in front of me is trying to recline his seat, and it won't recline. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, no, don't recline your seat. And then I see him trying to do it, and I say to myself, gosh, this is going to suck. But wait, it actually got way worse than that. As he's pushing hard, trying to recline a seat that won't recline, the seat breaks. The back of it breaks, and the sharp metal edge of it smashes into my knee behind him. I am in debilitating pain. I ended up having a deep bruise or a bone bruise on my kneecap. It was that bad, but it smashes into my knee, and I'm grabbing my knee. I'm just in miserable pain. I'll never forget it. The stewardesses went running down the aisle, worried only about him. They never even turned around. I'm right beside him. It's just horrible pain. They never even turned around and asked about me. It was just about this freaking guy. It was amazing. Anyway, 877-377-4373. That's the phone number. You can call in and you can leave voicemails. No, we're not. No one's going to answer. It's just a voicemail. And we've enjoyed these so far. Love, hate, and, Medal of Honor suggestions. Maybe a joke as long as it's family friendly. And of course, the hate is wonderful. I think this guy probably needs to talk, though.
Well, I was calling, and I've called many talk radio shows.
Let's pause right there. He goes on for about a minute. Just giving you a little inside baseball. That's a red flag. Automatically, red flag going off. Not that I'm against calling into a radio show. I think I've called into a couple myself in the past. Whenever we do take calls, happy that people want to call in. That's a good thing. But if you're a hate listener and you spend your day waiting on hold to get on the air, that's probably, all politics aside, you're probably not in a very healthy place mentally. You're not in a great place. So again, red flag number one.
AM talk radio kind of thing. And that's the thing. It's not, you don't do talk radio. You only think you do. You know what you and everybody else does that this thing has turned into? It's turned into monologue radio. Or brainwash radio. That's all you do.
Monologue radio. You know what a monologue is? Well, it just means you're talking to yourself, by yourself is really what it means. It's mono, singular, just me. But I'm the only one here with a microphone, so really the entire radio show is a monologue. What's he getting at? Oh, here it is. Oh, wait. Oh, crap. I pressed stop. Hold on. I pressed stop on it. You're going to have to listen to that again.
Well, I was calling, and I've called many talk radio shows, AM talk radio kind of thing. And that's the thing. It's not, you know, you don't do talk radio. You only think you do. You know what you and everybody else does that this thing has turned into? It's turned into monologue radio or brainwash radio. That's all you do. Talk radio is when you get on and you maybe do a couple minutes and talk about some things, and then you take phone calls for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours.
I'd rather kill myself.
However long your show is, 1 hour, 2 hours, that one dude has a 3 hour show. I don't really appreciate it, but.
Chris just said that he can actually see the guy standing there with his hands on his hips. And now that you said that, Chris, I can't get the image out of my mind. For the entire minute, it's a minute-long voicemail. I'll let him keep going. He's got another 20 seconds. the entire voicemail, I just see this effeminate little man baby with his skinny jeans on. You know he has those glasses on that every lib dork, you can see him listening in his Subaru Outback, screaming at the radio. You know it. I can't stop picturing it, Chris. His hands are on his hips right now. They are.
You know, he doesn't even do talk radio. You don't either. You all y'all do brainwash radio, and it's disgusting. And I wish you'd stop doing this and start doing talk radio. That's what it was about, talking with the public for the whole show. Your opinions really don't matter that much.
So he's upset.
I love these. 877-377-4373. And I want to encourage everybody. This maybe this applies to you. Maybe it applies to any one of the filthy commie dorks like this guy who are listening. Start your own show. It's nothing to buy some podcast stuff, some microphone equipment today. Go on Amazon, buy that stuff, be delivered to your home. If you have something to say, start your show. Maybe it's really good. Maybe you'll have a good time. Maybe it sucks. I mean, look, that guy's not going to have a successful show. No one cares about what he has to say about anything. But you might end up having something that's decent. Make sure your chalk is in your body, though. You're going to need the energy. You're going to need it. You hear me? Remember, chalk is more than just male vitality stacks. That's what I tell you about because that's what I take. Chalk is endless natural herbal supplements. That's where we need to focus. Natural herbal supplements. There's chalk lit powder. I always recommend people start out, if you don't want to go for a male vitality stack or female vitality stack, start out with chalk lit powder. Pour it into your smoothie, a glass of milk, glass of water, whatever, juice. I don't know, that might be weird because it's chocolate. Every single morning, just chug it. Pour it in there. It's delicious. It's chocolate powder. Chug it. Vitamins, minerals, every one of them in your body already to start your day. Go. Get a subscription because you save a fortune on subscriptions. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.